be in Christed. Everybody say, be in Christed. Turn to someone next to you and say, be in Christed. Amen. Philemon 6 says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. And I pray that you have, the Passion Translation says it this way, I pray for you that the faith we share may be effectively deepened at your understanding of every good thing that belongs to you in Christ. Amplified says it this way, and I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition of and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ and unto his glory. So we've been talking about newborn identity, understanding the purpose and power of our identification in Christ. This is so important for everyone to embrace. I believe it's one of the first understandings we need to have as new born again, spirit-filled, hallelujah, believers in Christ followers, because you need to know who you are. Amen. The who, we often said, determines the what. Many people start doing the what before they sit down and understand who. And so you need to understand who you are. You're not just who your mama and daddy named you and created you, procreated you to be. You're just not a natural man, as the Bible says. You're a spiritual man or woman. Amen. The real you is your spirit. This scripture is so important to our everyday application that the communication, the sharing of our faith becomes effective. How? By acknowledging every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. So we have to kind of go back and reflect on how much or how well am I acknowledging? Am I acknowledging every good thing within me in Christ Jesus? Because access to what belongs to you in Christ does not get penetrated or the door doesn't get open until you first acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge. You have to agree to access, to appropriate what belongs to you in Christ. Because if you don't understand who you are, you won't acknowledge it. If you think you're just who your mom and daddy made you to be, if you just think that I'm just the color of my melatonin, my skin color, my culture, my company, if that's only who you think you are, you can tend to be in perpetual crisis. Because we often said, if you're not in Christ, you're in crisis. Amen. Because you've lost your spiritual identity. You have to keep your spiritual identity. Now, well, let's talk about the power of our identification in Christ, because this is so powerful. We all need to not leave the house, as we said last week, without our spiritual identification. Most of us won't drive our cars without our driver's license. But you need your spiritual identification as well before you leave the house. Because, again, if you're not in Christ, you're in crisis. If you just think, I am who my job says I am, my title, my position, my role and responsibility. I am who my mom and dad, my natural, you know, family. I am just who my skin color, my culture tells me who I am. Then you become discombobulated. You become in crisis. And the devil can go knock you off your horse, so to speak, every single time because you don't know who you are. Remember the first temptation of Jesus? What did he ask him? What do you tell him? If you be the Son of God. It was an identity attack. What's the first thing he's going to do for us? If you're a man of faith and power, if you're a woman of God, let me come at your body. Let me come at your finances. Let me come and mix up your marriage a little bit. And if you forget who you are, you act like who you're not. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Ephesians 2:10 says it this way, for we are his workmanship created where? In Christ. Where did he create us? In Christ. He didn't create us in crisis. He created us in Christ Jesus for good works, good life, good things. You got to see that, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we said identification is defined as considering or treating as the same, the condition or fact of being the same in all qualities under consideration. So you have the same identification as Jesus. Until you see that level, you don't see high enough. Until you know that identification, your identification with Christ, you don't know enough. You know, Jesus and his name are one. Jesus is the head of the body. We are the body of Christ. Jesus and his body are one. The little pinky toe in the body of Christ is in union and in connection with Christ. Amen. So that has to be considered and treated as the same. Much like if you're traveling internationally by airplane, etc., they ask for your identification. In the case of traveling internationally, you know, you go to wherever, Mexico, Central America, Europe, or whatever, they ask for your passport. Your passport and you are the same. They want to say, show your identification. They want to see that that picture represents you. You and that passport are what? One and the same person. We as born-again believers and Christ followers have the Word of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit as our official identification in the realm of the Spirit. And they allow us to access and appropriate the vast and limitless benefits and blessings of who you are in Christ and what we have in him, what we have in Christ. So do you have your official identification in the realm of the Spirit? We said last week, you shouldn't leave the house unless you're in Christ. Because you have to be in Christ. Now, religion, tradition, and legalism says, I'm going to try to be. Maybe I'm someday going to be. Or I'm struggling to be. Pastor, I'm struggling to be. But the Bible says, just be in Christ. I'm already excited already. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you got to be in Christ. Because if you're not, you're in crisis. You can't access and appropriate all the blessings and benefits that are vast, that are unlimited in their resources. Amen. God identified with us in Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, and seating in heaven. He embraced our condition so that we might live in him and that he might live in us. This is the glory and mystery of Christianity, the power of the believer's identification with Christ. So much like we mentioned previously, everything God did in Christ, he did it for you and me. And it is set to the credit of our account like we did it. Now, I'm going to let you absorb that again. Everything God did in Christ, he did it for you and me, and it is set to the credit of our account like we did it. Our Father God put in Christ everything he wanted you and me to be. Where is it? Not outside of Christ, because you look a whole lot better in Christ than you do outside of Christ. He put in Christ everything God wanted you and me to be. And he put everything in Christ, everything he wanted you and me to have. That's why we can boldly say everyone in this room is wealthy beyond their wildest dreams. There's more than enough because God is a Jehovah Jireh, and El Shaddai, which means he nourishes and supplies, and the one who sees ahead and sends provision, he already seen your whole life. He's got a book written in heaven about you. Psalms tells us that David saw that book. He said, in your book, it is written of me. God has written out your life story, and he said, I see ahead, and I'm sending provision for your entire life. And he's not El Chipo, he's El Shaddai. He's a God who is more than enough, and he'll give you more than enough for your life journey in Christ. Not in crisis, in Christ. Woo! Glory to God. So he put everything in Christ, everything he wanted you and me to have. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6 in Philip's translation, he said, he gave us the life together in Christ and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now notice he said together, raise us up together, made us sit together. Everybody say together. So you're together with Christ. You're not apart from him. So why do we try to be? Why do we talk to hopefully someday I will be? Or I'm struggling trying to be instead of just be. Be a man in Christ. Be a woman in Christ. Whoo, glory to God. Hallelujah. See, our identity is wrapped up in who we are in Christ and what we have in him. Think of it this way. Our Father's already taken care of the devil, your righteousness, and your victory in life. He's already taken care of the devil. So when he comes on the scene of your life, when he tries to bring incursion into your body, into your marriage, into your family, you can just say, ha, 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 Mr. Devil, you are defeated. Because I'm in Christ. You got to talk to Jesus about this. Your righteousness and your victory. Your righteousness means the ability to stand before the presence of God and boldly come before the presence of God without any sense of guilt, fear, condemnation, shame, or inferiority. That means, like he said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You're not ashamed. You're not embarrassed. You don't stay back, step back, step down. Step away, you run to God because you have the right. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God made you righteous. It's not coach class. It's not second class, third class. It's first class. It's the God class of righteousness. Everybody say it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. A brand new creation in him. Hallelujah. Amen. The same identical life, victory, and joy and blessings that are in Christ are now in you. Now, the rub is we don't see it. Unfortunately, many Christians live and die and never really find out their true identity. Often people never figure out who they are, so they act like someone else. And you got so many people on tell you how to vision, television, and you so many things on social media to try to tell you who you are. And so you start acting like everybody else. See, you can no longer identify with just your natural family. You are now identified with Christ, your individual identity, who you are in Christ, what you have in him, and then your corporate identity, who you are in the body of Christ. Because, friends, there's no hope for a man's condition without Christ, without Jesus Christ. There's no hope for him. Your family heritage and lineage is not good enough. Your color, your culture, your class, your category, your creed, it's not good enough. You're either in Christ or you're in crisis. Y'all going to remember that when you leave here. You're going to say, are you in crisis? No. Well, you're in crisis right now. So when you're not in Christ, you're in crisis. You look a whole lot better in Christ than you do outside of Christ. See, we've been crucified with Christ as believers, Christian believers, and Christ followers. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified, what? With Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. So your heavenly Father cloned you in me with Christ and made you identical to him. Remember the identification definition. He made you identical to Jesus. Jesus was the prototype, the archetype of the new covenant, new created human spirit. He was the first begotten of the dead. And so we are patterned just like him, not a faded, falling, fractured copy of him. You're identical to him. So whatever didn't run in Jesus has to be stopped running in you. Whatever didn't run in Jesus' life experience has to stop running your life experience. Why? Because you're identical to him. You're in Christ. You see, friends, Christianity is not man-made, it's God-made. You and I are born of an incorruptible seed, the supernatural seed, the Word of God. God wants you to be so good to you that you're amazed all the time. So if you're not impressed or inspired about who you are in Christ, you just haven't seen him or her lately. Most people are not impressed. They come to church and it's hard for them to lift up a hand. It's hard for them to sing, "Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever is yours." The wonder of your name. They're not impressed with who they are in Christ. They're not inspired. They say, "Why should I share somebody I'm not really inspired with?" That's why they don't open their mouth and share their faith. They're not impressed with who they are in Christ. They're in crisis. They're not in Christed. We're talking about you being in Christed. Why do people got, we got the greatest gift of all. I know there's a lot of good Christmas idea gifts and whatnot, friends, but Jesus is the greatest gift of all. He's the gift that literally that keeps on giving. Because what, every day is a new day in Christ. Every day should be a brand new day for you and me individually in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are what? Passed away. All things become new. And so you got to look at the, woo, woo, glory to God. Woo, see yourself in Christ. See yourself in him. Not as a sinner, not as a beggar, not as an outcast, not as a pauper. But see yourself in him. See yourself through the blood. See yourself through the cross. Jesus, Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ." That means when Jesus went to the cross, I died there together with him. He said, "I live, not I don't live anymore. The new me lives." In where? In Christ. Well, you got to see that. But when you see it, you say it. I am crucified with Christ. Because you don't want to get in Christ, it is not automatic. You got to say it. The communication of your faith has to become effective by you acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. So if you're not impressed, if you're not inspired, you haven't seen that person lately. See, the Word of God must be engrafted into our inner man so that we know who we are in Christ. There's at least 130 scriptures in Christ, scriptures, some say even up to 160, that open endless possibilities for the believer, you and me, to access. What are you doing with them? Because we're talking to you about being in Christed. And the crux of being in crisis, the motivation, the impetus for you to be in crisis is, if you're not in Christ, you're in what? Come on, class. You're in crisis. You're in crisis. You could have an identity crisis walking out of that door tomorrow morning at 8:30 or 9 o'clock or wherever you go to work or wherever you have to commute to. Come on now. You can walk out of that door in crisis. Get behind the wheel of your car in crisis because you're not in Christ. Let's talk about being in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So you see the picture there in your handout. It may be a little grayed out for some of you. But what happens to you when you're born again or in Christ? We receive eternal life, the life of God, the nature of God. So that's one thing you need to acknowledge every day. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. If you're a singer, you can sing it. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got his power, his nature, and his ability. I've got the life of God in me. It don't matter how you feel, you got to acknowledge that I got eternal life, abundant life. See, people think eternal life or everlasting life is just on the other side of death. But it's a right now inheritance that gets injected into your spirit. How you stir up that eternal life, that abundant life, the life of God, the nature of God, the ability of God in you. You've got to acknowledge it. You've got to acknowledge it before you access it. Number two, we experience no spiritual birth defects. Now, let me talk to some folks real directly here. Too much of us, our identification is with this body. This body is just a house suit. This is the earth suit. And, again, I know your business a little bit. Amen. Everybody's gone through physical challenge, including myself, this year. But how do you view your body? Was Jesus ever sick? No. By his stripes ye were what?
Healed.
If you were healed, then you are. And there's no spiritual birth of it because the First Peter says you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed. So there's no corruptness in your spirit. And if you let your spirit man dominate your outer man, your inner man dominate your outer man, that's the one in Christ. That's the person in Christ. That's the man in Christ. That's the woman in Christ. You let that spirit man dominate your outer man, then you put the outer man in line. You can just say, I feel good. I feel fine. Now body, get in line. Hallelujah. I'm just giving you an example. But you're not. There's no spiritual birth defect. So, because see, you go to the doctor and they tell you you were born with this. You have this run in your family. You can say, what runs in my family doesn't have to run in my family. Run in me and run in my life. Come on now. High blood pressure doesn't have to run in me. Diabetes doesn't have to run in me. Come on now. Heart disease doesn't have to run in me. Asthma has nothing to have to run in me. Come on now. Hallelujah. These things don't have to run. You can stop it and terminate it because you're a man or a woman in Christ. There's no spiritual birth defects. Because he forgave all my iniquities and healed every one of my diseases. Somebody said, glory to God. He redeemed my life from destruction. Third, we're born of the God. We're a child of God. Some people only see themselves born of that father or that mother. Perhaps how good or bad or absentee or present they were. You just identify too low because these were imperfect people. But you have a perfect Lord. You have a perfect Father. You're born of God. You're a child of God. Everybody say, I'm a child of God. What that song say in the offering? Literally, I'm a child of God. That's who I am. But you got to acknowledge it. I'm a child of God. Father God, I thank you that you're my very own father and I'm your very own child. There's power in sonship. Amen. Because he treats you and me just like he treats Jesus. He loves you and me just like he loves Jesus. But you don't receive that love until you acknowledge it. Four, we're given access to the rights and privileges of God's kingdom. We can access the kingdom. Fifth, we pass from death to life. Death, destruction. See, death, debt, sickness, all working in the same clique or same company. All that works. Death in your body is sickness. Physical death, sickness is a part of physical death. It's trying to kill off your body prematurely a lot of times. Amen. But you pass from death to life. Amen. Amen. Spiritual death means separation from God. Amen. Financial death is debt, bankruptcy, foreclosure, all this bad stuff. You pass from what? But what are you saying about it? What are you saying about your bills? You calling them as they are? Or are you calling them as they need to be as a man or woman in Christ? I hope I'm stirring you up a little bit this morning. It's number six. We become one with the Master. That means you're in union with Christ. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Then seventhly, the person of the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he, the comforter, the helper, he said, I will not leave you helpless. He will come, he will be with you, and he will be in you. He will abide with you forever. Greater is he who is in you. But what do you say that? When you're facing a challenge, perhaps, at the house, in your body, on the job, you should automatically acknowledge, greater is he who is in me than he that's in the world. I don't care if you're dealing with your family member or a partner in business. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The greater one lives on the inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where? In you. Now, here's some key works and components of being in Christ as we close this up. Y'all get something out of this today? Number one, you are a brand new creation. We read the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Every day is a new day in Christ. I want you to think about that. Every day doesn't have to be the same old mundane, mundrub. Oh, I ain't got no money. You're identifying with your bank balance and your checkbook? Come on, people. You're identifying with the physical limitations and the harassments and the hindrances physically? That's not who you are. Every day is a brand new day in Christ. Galatians 6:14-15 says it this way, but God forbid that I should boast except that in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. That means your natural culture, your natural color, your natural classification or category that you might feel yourself in doesn't mean a thing. What avails is the new creation, who you are in Christ and what you have in him. Number two, we are righteous now. Everybody say, I'm righteous now. Turn to someone next to you and say, did you know you're righteous now? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him to meet who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the what? The righteousness of God in where? In him, in Christ, in Christ. See, you and I as born again believers and Christ followers are righteous now. Justified by God. When? Now. We must be acutely conscious of it all the time. Now, what's the anti-righteousness? Anti of righteousness, or the opposite of righteousness? Well, let me give you a list. Short list. It's a deadly list, though. Fear. Guilt. Shame. See, where fear starts, faith stops. When fear is manifested, your faith is contaminated. When fear starts, begins to assail, excuse me, when your fear begins to assail, your faith begins to fail. Fear's a bad boy. You don't want to be dealing with it. God has not given us what? A spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Guilt and shame are two twins that are powerfully self-destructing, self-sabotaging, and self-inflicting behaviors. Guilt takes you down, and shame keeps you down and keeps you away. That's why when people make a mistake, they automatically go into crisis because they identify with the guilt of their sin, you know, disobedience, and the shame of it, of facing the truth, instead of running to God to repent and receive forgiveness. They stay away from God and think, I don't need to be coming back. I don't need to be going around because I'm not worthy. Brett Hagin said he was saw the vision of Jesus one time, and he one of his first visions, actually. And then he's in religious tradition, because this we pick up this junk in around church folks sometimes. It's unfortunate. But so he had picked up religiously brainwashed. He didn't understand this thing. And so he fell at Jesus' feet, weeping and crying. He said, Lord, no one is worthy as unworthy as I am deserves to look upon your face. Now he's standing right before the Lord Jesus, like I'm standing right before this sister right here. He's standing, he's looking down, ashamed to even look at Jesus and talk to Jesus face to face. And the Lord got real stern with him. He said, get up. Stand up on your feet. He said, I made you worthy. I made you righteous. Come on now. That guilt and shame are tools of the enemy to keep you down and keep you away from the blessings and benefits of God. Amen. Everybody say, no more shame. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so, you have to be conscious of the fact that condemnation is a tool of the devil. He's always trying to condemn you. Condemnation is a disease of your spirit. It will afflict and affect negatively your faith, where you can't grip the promises of God. God says he's good to you all the time. You can't grip that. God says he's healed you. You can't grab a hold of that because a condemnation is working on you. It's like an alarm that goes off inside of you that says, here's the line to eternal life, to the blessings of God, to the healing power of God, and I can't step across the line because every time I get close to that line, alarm goes off. And it says, well, I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy of this. But by his stripes you are healed. By the grace of God I am that I am. Come on now. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have a full legal rights to all the blessings and benefits and privileges of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a good position with the Father. You're righteous now. Everybody say, I'm righteous now. He didn't die on the cross, friends. He didn't shed all that blood and get his back whipped 39 times, put a crown of thorns on his head, get nails pierced in his hands and feet, and get a spear pierced in his side. Why? For you could live and struggle along just a little bit. He elevated you to heaven, godly, God's class of righteousness. You are somebody in Christ. Are you listening to me? We have a good position with the Father. We have the ability to come before the presence of God without any sense of guilt, sheer fear, shame, or condemnation or inferiority. Number three, we're blessed in Christ. Everybody say, I'm blessed in Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Everybody say, in Christ. So are you in Christ? So we are empowered to prosper, increase, and succeed because we're blessed in Christ. Everybody say, I'm blessed in Christ. Now, when everything looks cursed around you, what do you have to acknowledge? Say it again. I'm blessed in Christ. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have to acknowledge that before you access it and appropriate the blessings. We can and should prosper, increase and succeed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, maritally, and financially because we are blessed in Christ. Your marriage is not cursed. Your family members are not cursed. All and every spiritual blessing is available and accessible to you and me in Christ. Number four, we have victory in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, our theme scripture for the church. Now thanks be to God who always leads us into triumph in where? In Christ. Then through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. So I suggest to you, friends, that we should experience victory on three dimensions or three degrees or three levels, however you want to say it, in Christ. Three dimensions, as I'm suggesting to you. First, in Christ, we should live in a position of victory. Everybody say position of victory. Position of victory. Secondly, we contend with our enemies from victory, not for victory. So we're in a position of victory, and from that position, we contend from it, not for it. Third, our Father God will give us present tense circumstantial victory by his grace through Christ when we need it, because our faith is in his finished works. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives, as present tense and present participle, present tense imperative, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You might have defeat standing in four walls naked around you. But in Christ, God can give you the victory in the middle of that circumstance. Amen? So we can't talk defeated. Shuffle defeated. Act defeated. Get over into the depression and discouragement and despondency. Five, we have freedom in Christ. Everybody say, I have freedom in Christ. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, Therefore now there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after, according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. Now let me close with this last scripture, because here's how we need to practice this practically. Because ignorance is a bad thing. Dullness of perception is a bad thing. Because if you perceive that all I got to access and be to appropriate is what I see in my bank or what I see in my billfold or I see through my family line, then you're not seeing right. This is faith stuff, right? Now, Paul said the first prayer he prayed, spirit-anointed prayer, of course, we know Ephesians 1 prayer, is one of the most important prayers we should ever pray for ourselves on a consistent, regular basis. Now, I'll read it. I'm going to read it out of King James, John, just to speed it along a little bit. It says, Wherefore, as I heard of your faith in Christ Lord Jesus and love to all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What is this prayer? Listen to this very closely. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. So you got to ask for this wisdom, spirit of wisdom and revelation. In the knowledge of him, that the eyes of my understanding, that means you got spiritual eyes. That's the spirit, that's your spiritual eyes, not your natural eyes. Natural eyes might see lack, limitations, losing the battle. Come on now, you see all the natural stuff and sense all the natural things coming against you. But with your spiritual eyes, you see the victory. You see the blessings. You see the benefits. You see the breakthrough coming. Amen? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come, has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullest of him that filleth all in all. Everybody say amen. Amen. See, the church is the body of Christ, and he's the head, and we are joined to him. So what happened to Jesus in his resurrection and exaltation or elevation, seated at the right hand of the Father, he took us together with him. He's the head, we are his body. One sister said, had a revelation of the body of Christ. She said, I saw this big, massive body. But she got up close, and she had a vision of it. And she said, oh, I saw all the faces of the people. Remember, he's the head, and we're the body. Now, you don't call the head John and the body Oliver Sacquard. Are you listening to me? Who is the head? Christ. Where are we? In Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. You got to see yourself in him. Amen? So we have our same identical victory, life, and blessings. Where? In Christ. He was victorious over all principalities, powers, might, dominion, every name that is named. So every angelic class, every authority, every strength and ability, every government or lordship, and every name that is named. Cancer is a name. We're above that. Far above that. Diabetes is a name. Far above that. Arthritis is a name. Far above that. But he's praying that you see something, though. This spirit-anointed prayer, New Testament prayer, is for every believer to pray. This is an anointed supplication, a petition we should and could pray every day, several times a day, for ourselves and then others. I recommend for yourself first, because you got to see something. Don't just pray it for other people. Pray it for yourself. Now, Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, said one time, if you pray this prayer once or twice a day for yourself, every day, in 6 months, life will be totally different to you. Now, how many is going to take that challenge? By next June, we turn around saying, look at what the Lord has done. Pastor, I've been living as a man or a woman in Christ. Hallelujah. Every day is a brand new day. And look what the Lord has done. Because I appropriated victory. I appropriated life. I appropriated and accessed blessings. Notice Paul, by the Holy Spirit, didn't write this prayer for God to do something. Because he had already done everything. We just told you that earlier. Everything he did wanted to do for us, he did it where? In Christ. And then he put you and me in him. And it's set to the credit of our account, just like we did it. That's why we praise and honor him. That's why we exalt him. Because Jesus has paid and done it all. God has done everything he wanted to do for us in Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension, is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. This prayer is asking God to reveal something. Now, this is where it needs to kick in with every one of us. That God would show us who we are and what we possess in Christ. Because here's where people slip or drift into religious tradition or works without Christ, trying to make it happen through human effort without Christ. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. Some people think, well, I can try to lose weight. Why are you trying to do it outside of Christ? Go in there and talk to God. Now, I know people make those resolutions in the new year. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Exercise. So what they do, and they basically said, this is what I'm going to try to do. This is what I'm going to try to be. Now, don't let me step on your toes a little bit. I'm trying to be down to this weight. Well, they hadn't gone into the Word and said, well, Lord, what do you want me to be at? Notice how I said that. Lord, where do you want me to be at? You spent all that money on extra food and different types of food. Nothing wrong with that, but if the Lord told you to do it, other than that, it's going to be outside of Christ. It's going to just be human effort. We're going to try to save up couple thousand dollars for vacation. You're going to try to be. We're going to try to pay off these credit card bills. See, oftentimes the devil will trick us into trying to do something instead of be something. Are y'all hearing this today? But God says, I want you to see something. That it's already done in Christ. So this prayer is asking God to reveal something that God will show you. See, God's in the show business. The Holy Spirit's in you. He said he will take the things of Christ, John 16, and show them, transmit them unto you. In other words, the Holy Spirit is there to help you see it. This is who you are. This is where you are. This is what you have in Christ. Hallelujah. So in other words, people try to, he's not praying for our dedication or our consecration. Because most people try to consecrate themselves. They take to judge themselves, take communion, try to repent, try to do better. But let me suggest to you that revelation is the key. Because people ain't going to get on fire and ain't going to get focused and ain't going to get stirred up and ain't going to get fired up until they see something. Because they're not impressed with the struggle. Some even say the struggle's real. Some people are not impressed with the struggle and the sufferings, perhaps, of the Christian life. But you know, you're identifying with the wrong thing. You got to identify with the Savior, with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, trying to dedicate to do something, try to determine to do something, trying to consecrate yourself to do something, but really you need to have a revelation. Because every breakthrough in dedication and consecration comes from a breakthrough in revelation. When everyone in there sees who we are in Christ and what we possess, that will light your fire. That will laser your focus. It's because you don't see it. Why we get distracted, or why we get dejected, or why we break focus. You got to see yourself in Him. And you say, whoo, 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 I'm impressed. And that fires up and fuels your dedication, your consecration. Come on now. And every breakthrough in faith is preceded by a breakthrough in revelation. If you don't see yourself with that $100,000 income, $250,000 income, getting out of debt, because you see yourself in Christ, oh, debt is gone. Limitation and lack is gone. It's because you don't see it. Your faith can't appropriate it. The first scripture, remember, the communication, the sharing of your faith becomes effective by what? Acknowledging every good thing that belongs to you, where? In Christ. So we stop trying to be. We stop hoping someday it will be. We stop the struggle of trying to do something to be. We're just be in Christ. Be in Christus. See, we are changed as we see the love of God and we see the power of God and what God did for us in Christ. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Come on now. Praise the Lord.